Welcome to Fiction Authors Talk Books, or Fat Books Podcast. This episode, I'm talking with the fantastical Alethea Fast and getting to know her. This is a safe space for people of the industry to talk about the industry, the craft, and we'll definitely go off script. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to see your favorite author on here, send them this link, and they can get in touch with us at fatbookspodcast@gmail.com. We take all authors who write fiction and have been published as long as they're polite. Thanks for joining us, and on to the podcast. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Sorry, I was like ready to get on, and then they're weed whacking right below my apartment window, and I looked outside, and I'm like, okay, if I wait like two more minutes, you will actually be able to hear me say hello as they move on just like a little bit.
Gotta love that, right?
And like, shoo, 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 shoo. Like, that will help.
Right.
Okay, first off, how do I say your name? Because I'm not... The mouth does not form like that.
No, it's fine. It's Alethea.
Alethea.
It's kind of a weird one.
Is that your pen name? Is that your actual name?
That is my pen name, though my real name is equally as weird.
Hey, we have no problem with weird over here. I just have a problem with enunciation. Alethea.
Yeah, Alethea Fast. And it's a kind of like a funny story of how I found this pen name. My day job is in real estate, and this is a name of a board member that has likely since passed away, but she had the coolest name. And I was like, you know what? Let's keep that.
That would make a good pen name for my later world domination.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I like it. Now, her last name isn't the same, too. It's just her first name, right?
Just the first name, yeah.
Okay. No, I like it. It's very pretty. I just keep wanting, because I have a character, Alina, so I keep wanting, I'm like, nope, there's a T in there, and there's no N, so, you know, this is going to go well. I'm not going to mess this up.
Right? No, it's funny. That's actually where, like, most of the names of my series came from, was just, like, doing research at my day job. Me and my coworker would keep a name of, like, an Excel spreadsheet of like cool names that we came across over the course of this job. So like half of the characters from Sex Wizards are just people I have come across. And it's like, I'm just going to take this name for future posterity.
Oh, that's funny. How do you like keep all the minor characters straight or whatever?
Oh my gosh. So I think it's like the hyperfixation of my ADHD is this series.
Oh geez, another one of us.
Right. So it's like, I honestly just like have them in my head. I've got like a character Bible that I keep for like my main characters, but for some reason all of my side characters just kind of like exist in this like weird liminal space in my brain and just pop out when I need them. It's really, I don't really know how I do it.
I have character charts for each different series and all my minor characters. I meant naming them.
Oh, naming them.
Because you can't have like four minor character Joes in one series. So like...
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, no. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what I normally do. I honestly, for like... for side characters, it's like, okay, fantasynamegenerator.com, go.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. See, I guess I don't give the minor characters such importance where I would give them cool names. I have a tendency to, because like in the background when you're eating or whatever, like I always have like a YouTube video paused that like I'm catching up for my subscriptions. So if I just need like a minor character name, I just look at the comments list. And be like, oh, I don't have a Gil. For instance, I just pulled that one. I don't have a Gil in this series. I check my character chart. And I'm like, Gil Mendoza, you left a comment on this video. You are now the minor character villain.
Amazing. I never thought to do that, but I love that idea.
There we go. We don't gatekeep around here. Share my crazy. I have no problem if you do that. I don't know if we watch the same kind of videos, but I'm sure there are more than enough comments for all of us to
right. Some
guy's gonna be like, hey, they named you, they named like outed you, named, or what is it, doxed you, but yeah, they like name dropped you on this random podcast of romance authors and like, what? You're a villain in a like, it'd be so funny if it got back to that guy. I think it was a Minecraft video. I think it was a Captain Sparkles Minecraft video. I don't even remember what I was watching. It was like 2 days ago or whatever. I just remember the name because I was still working on the next scene with him. But anyway, but it'd be super funny if it like got around to this Gil Mendoza that like, you're an in-book now as a villain.
So I have a really silly story about this. So I've got one character who has like a pretty unique name, and I'm not going to say it just because I'm pretty sure that this guy is potentially following my social media, but like This guy reaches out to me who happens to have his last name is the same as this character's name, right? And so he reaches out to me an email being like, I just need to know if you have any affiliation with this family. And he like sent me this very long email and saying that he was going to get an attorney involved if I did not change this character's name. And it's like, bud, you don't have a copyright on your name. I'm sorry that it happened to get used in this book, but like, I'm not gonna change it.
Oh wow, I've never had that's a random. I love when we talk to each other as authors and it's like you find a new level of crazy.
Oh, I know, right? And I just like I got this when I was on vacation in El Salvador, and I was like, "Yeah, bud, like this is what you're gonna go with." And it was so funny because I ended up like looking into this guy a little bit because my day job is researching. I'm pretty good at it, and so he's apparently like a film guy, and so I'm sure he Googles his name constantly, which is how he found I had used his name for a side character in my series.
Jeez. I do for like the major villains are like I, you know, for legal purposes, I'm not killing off people we actually know. This is, you know, just fiction and I'm not advocating for violence against anyone. Blah 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 blah.
Right.
But every so often I'll just text one of my friends and be like, "I need a villain. They will die horribly. Who of your exes do you hate?" And I tend to not like do first and last name. Like I'll pick a first n name of somebody and then mixed up with the last name of somebody else. Let's not get in trouble. But it's really funny because like my editor, the woman you were talking to earlier, several people in my life will immediately, I'll ask for one and they'll give me like four. So I'll be like, okay, keep those other ones on lock for later. But then
Right, I'll need those.
my bestie around from here that I walk with our dogs daily, she's always like, let me think and I'll let you know. And I'll be like, no, this is one. This is like, I need it right now because I need to put in a name. And two, she won't give me a name. She's like such a sweet little gumdrop of sugary.
Oh.
Yeah, that she has trouble like giving you a name of somebody to hate on. And I'm just like, oh,
Oh, that's
God.
adorable.
I'm like, woman, if I had a better memory and a better like retention of names, I would name all the exes. Half of them I don't remember their names. I've had people be like, how do you not remember the name of somebody you slept with? I'm like, they didn't matter. They weren't
Yeah,
that
exactly.
memorable.
It's like
It's 15 years ago. I'm like, pick any list here.
Right.
You know, I can tell you phone numbers from friends from grammar school, but yeah, I couldn't name half my classmates. I'm just not good with names. I remember all my character names half the time, or
Right.
half the time. I have like 14 million series and a million different characters, and sometimes people will be like, "Oh yeah, such and such." I'll be like, "Who? What? Could you give me?" Like, I just want that shirt that says, please give me context. And they'll be like, oh, sorry, I
Right.
assumed you remembered. I'm like, yeah, no, sure. Especially Artemis. It's like book 23 now. The series is gonna be 26 books long.
Oh
And
my God.
somebody will reference, and I mean, I love fans. I love that they're so invested they remember all these names. But I'll have somebody be like, just throw out a minor villain for one book, wasn't even a recurring bad guy. And they'll be like, yeah, such and such. I'll be like, who? What? They'll be like, you wrote them. I'm like, do you know how many books I've written at this point? Do you know how many
Right.
words I've put onto paper? How many characters I have? I'm like, that series alone probably has like 400 characters. Like,
I'm really looking forward to having a backlog like that someday because right now it's like I only have the three books and like an unrelated novella. And so
oh,
it's like right now it's all just like tightly in my head. So
you're a baby.
I am a baby. I think I've only been doing this since like officially since 2021.
Oh, you're a baby baby. Okay.
I know.
Well,
I'm
are
also the
you?
slowest writer.
No, that's there's nothing wrong with that. You do not need to live, sleep, and eat your work, like I do. You other people sh I hear other people have work-life balance. The problem
What a novel concept.
Well, the problem for me is that everybody's like, you need to take more days off. You need to have a free day. If I have my perfect free day, I would be writing.
Right.
The problem for me is everything that comes after that's stressful.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I've been dealing with that pretty hard this year is like everything's kind of like escalating on the like business of writing side of things. Like figuring out taxes, figuring out sales tax for my online store, figuring out how to do like in-person events. It's just like all of the stuff that's like, around writing is the stressful part. The writing is the fun part.
I don't do in-person events anymore because I had a serious situation with a stalker and I don't want my face out there anymore.
Oh yeah, I don't blame you.
The one thing I would recommend for the online or the in-person events is bring a non-author buddy. to kind of be your shield, or I don't want to say security, but your security. Somebody who is, if you're an introvert, somebody who's an extrovert and who has no problem saying, don't touch her. No, back off. That's what I could have dealt with the in-person stuff much better if I had somebody to basically be my bouncer.
Right. No, that's fair. Yeah. My partner Gio is, he's like my official assistant at the, I've only done two in-person events. One of them being Readers Take Denver, which was like, you know, its own thing.
Yeah. There's so many more events now. I haven't done an in-person event in almost 10 years, and there's so many more now. And it's like,
oh my
people
gosh.
Name all these ones and I'm like, wait, who, what, ha, he?
I know, right?
Humana?
I forgot which ones I signed up for next year. And I'm doing three out of state ones next year, which was a choice on my part.
Yeah.
But we'll see how that goes. But I've decided three is my limit. Three a year. That's all I can do. I am an introvert and it's not my forte.
Yeah.
It's really tiring.
Oh yeah.
But
they're even having fun with the good fans is exhausting. Hell,
oh, I know.
Hell, I get off Discord talking for an hour in my Discord server and I'm like, I need a nap. And people,
yeah, right?
And I've had people be like, that's so rude. I'm like, no, I had fun. I was glad to catch up with them. We were talking about, you know, theories and different stuff. And I'm like, it's great. I love talking about my books. I write them. Like I'm glad that people enjoy them. But I don't talk to the people I talk to are fiction. Like it's
right.
It's tiring. I can handle my one walk a day with my friend. And that's more like we take turns having a therapy session. So some of it we do three or four laps. So it's like 30, 45 minutes. And sometimes she talks most of the time. And sometimes I talk most of the time.
Right.
And that's about all I can handle in a day.
Yeah, it's like ever since I started, so at my day job, I am still working like 30 hours a week at the day job. I've dropped down to like just below like 40 hour full time.
Yeah.
And ever since I started working from home in 2020, like my social battery is non-existent. It's like you got 15 minutes with me and then I am out. Like,
yeah. I went to our apartment complex had bingo last night and normally I go with my friend and her boyfriend and we just kind of sit off to the side. Well, it was really nice yesterday. It was like 70 degrees. It was gorgeous.
Oh, nice.
And then right as it was starting and they brought out the pizzas, it was a cold downpour. So it was a shit show. And like, when I get cold, people are like, oh my God, it's like, there's going to be ice forming somewhere. Cause I run normally very hot, but yeah, we were freezing. And like when the last numbers were called and somebody did the last bingo, I was out of there so fast. She was like, are you cold? I'm like, hey, your boyfriend went and got you a jacket. I've been sitting here freezing my tits off. Like,
right. Exactly.
And I didn't win. They both won on the first time I went with them. He won twice and she won once. Every time I go, they both win and I don't. So I basically go to eat pizza and they laugh at me.
Oh, that's like my luck angle though. Like I think I've played it twice in my life and I have never won. So it's not like a huge incentive.
Yeah, right. Back. And it's not just me though. The apartment complex had to change the rules that you can only win once per bingo night because of them. They kept winning.
They broke bingo night.
Yeah, I wasn't even there and they won four times. They won twice for each round. God. Like, yeah, they each won each round. And they were like, okay, you guys can't keep doing this. And so I was like, why don't you guys play the lotto? They're like, we do, but we don't really win. I was like, so you just win for when it's money off rent? I was like, what the?
Yeah, it's like, you just win apartment bingo? Like, that's incredible. Like, if I had my druthers of winning a thing, I feel like, yeah, free or discounted rent would be pretty cool.
Well, it used to be 250 off. Now they're cheaping it only to 100. So, you know, it was, yeah, I mean, still free pizza and $100, but they didn't order enough pizza. Like my apartment complex is supposedly quote unquote luxury, but it is a testament to incompetence. That is what we keep saying about this place. That's what they should change the sign to.
Yeah, it's just funny how like luxury has become such a loosey-goosey word recently.
Well, yeah. And see, I'm originally from Chicago where if you put luxury on something, there's like a set standard. You have to have like a overnight doorman. There has to be secured entry. Like there's a certain like regulated level that it has to be. And apparently here it's like, you know, healthy. It can just get slapped on any freaking thing and you're just,
huh.
Yeah.
So
that's wild.
So, okay. So how did you, so now that I know that you're a baby, how did you fall all into this? Now, do you co-author? You said we.
No, I don't co-author. I actually started writing the series as like a catharsis project during lockdown. Okay. Like
we've met a few authors like that. That's really funny.
Well, it's like I've always been a writer. Like I've always written stuff, and like I went to college for creative writing, and like, you know, have been trying to like write the story for however long. But like I was working on like this grim dark fantasy. It was like really dark, really gritty, like post-apocalyptic. It like took place in the wake of a world-ending plague, and during COVID I was like, wow, I sure cannot do that right now. So I was like, what's something fun and lighthearted that I could write? And I'd had this idea knocking around in my head of this like kink-based magic system that I came up with during a D&D session, and I was like, you know what, let's pivot into that. Smut makes me happy, so let's write some smut.
I hate that word, but that is so funny.
Right. It's like I think I wrote Initiation in like I think I started it in 2019, but I finished it in 2020, like during lockdown. And I had no intentions of like publishing it at all. I was posting it for free on Literotica and AO3 because I was like, you know, this is like a fun story and maybe somebody will like it. And so I was like, I posted the entire first book for free on Lit and AO3. And I wrote the second book during 2022 and started posting that as well. And then as like I started working on book three, I started like kind of diving into the indie author thing of like, okay, like maybe I could try and publish it. Like I've got some people on Patreon who are like doing advanced chapters before I post them on the free sites. So mm-hmm. like maybe I could expand this and like see if it goes anywhere. And I just came across this Reddit thread the other day where like I asked on the erotic literature like or erotic like publisher subreddit of like, hey, like how do I market this book? Like it's a kind of out there concept. And I came across like the one person who replied that was like, hey, from a money making perspective, this project is doomed. And I was like,
wow.
Funny how that turned out. Sure. Yeah, like it was some really rough advice, and like it was bad advice too.
Oh yeah.
Because like this book, like the series has taken off in a way like I personally never expected.
And it's horrible to say, but that person was probably an author. The amount of sabotage we have in our industry, like
I know
it's some of the worst advice I've gotten as an author is from other authors. And I have now had the blinders taken off that a lot of it was intentional because, you know, mm-hmm. there's as women, we're raised to see each other as competition. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten rid of that mindset enough yet.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of when I like left Reddit behind as far as like,
yeah, Reddit in general is kind of toxic. Yeah. I'm glad I never got into that. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's just funny because like, you know, now that like the series or, you know, the first three books in the series are out and like, I've kind of like dug into this world a lot more, like the like author friends that I have made are like so supportive. Like Vera Valentine is one of the like coolest people and was one of my like first readers. She is such a freaking delight. Yeah. I love Vera. Yeah. And she's like,
she was so fun.
Yeah. And she's also like a hell of a cheerleader because, you know, I was like brand new when she started talking to me. Like I had just put book one out. She like left this amazing review for it. And then she messaged me. And like without her, I feel like this whole journey would be a lot different. But like she introduced me to like all of the authors who are like really cool and really supportive. And I've just been kind of like blown away with how cool this community is.
She seemed lovely. She was so funny when we were talking. And she was like, yeah, I do. And I can't even remember what she called the genre. Inanimate objects. I forgot what she called the genre. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she's like, yeah, I write whatever romance. And I was like, I've been doing this like 15 years almost. You're doing what now? And she was like, yeah, it's a thing. I was like, wow, I really just live in a hobbit hole to myself and keep writing.
And it's funny because, like, you know, she's like a genre bender. She just kind of like, she does some of the wildest stuff. And like, I love the chaos of it.
It's, well, yeah, so I felt so bad because I think for a minute I made her feel like she should almost be embarrassed about it. But then I didn't mean it like that at all. And I was like, Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, so tell me more. She's like, oh, okay, you're into it. I was like, I don't know if I'm into it, but I want to hear about it. Like, tell, like, right. We become authors and who fall down our rabbit holes of research and everything. Like, I not without the inherent sexism and sexual assault, but tell me more, tell me more. Did you get very far, right. You know, of Grease?
I got that reference. That was good.
Every so often. I have like one a day. Damn, I needed it for the book I'm supposed to be finishing today. Or I will finish today. I hate the endings of books. I hate the endings of books. So many authors hate starting, and I'm like, the beginning is exciting. I could, the first day of a new book, I write like 10,000 words. Like it's crack for me. And
yeah, it's like shiny and new.
Yeah. The ending, I'm like, I think everybody in my life knows to leave me alone the last like 2 days of a new book.
Oh God.
Yeah, because I get grouchy, and the longer it takes, the grouchier I get. And I mean,
right,
because the story never really ends, and I'm always worried that I'm stopping it at the right point. And like, it's like that last 5,000 words is like, I'd rather pluck every hair off my body.
Right. And it's like, anybody who's read book 2 and 3 of Sex Wizards know that I just don't write endings. They're not cliffhangers, but they sure as hell aren't really endings. So. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh gosh. I've been doing this for I've been published for 14 years, but I've technically been doing it for 15. Oh, really.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm not a noob, but I make myself sound so old here, but I'm not. But even I'm learning new things. Like Artemis is the longest series I've had. It's going to be 26 books, and oh my God, do I wish I did a better timeline at the start. And
oh God,
I wish I kept a better calendar. And I mean like physical, actual calendar with like months so I could keep track of where everything was. I've done that with Seraphine, right. And even just keeping straight of the full moons because she's a werewolf. And oh, you were saying about the dark romance with COVID about, you know, the.
Yeah.
So I actually I had something very similar, and I ended up caving. I hate that I caved, but I just needed to cave for my own sanity. So I have it's a series that's been going on it's the first series I self-published after I was starting to bail on the publishers I was with, but she's a female. Well, and I went the old school route of like getting a agent and going through the big publishing houses. And I had like 3 or 4 agents that wanted to do it, but they didn't want her to be a werewolf because it wasn't sexy, or they wanted me to change this. I was like, you're not even the publishing house. No, you're not changing fundamental. So that's when I got into self-publishing.
Yeah.
Because I was like, we're not changing this about Seraphine. But she is an FBI agent in a world where soups are known. And of course, because she's FBI, there's going to be some politics. It's not a lot. And like, I don't name that it's President Obama to start, but because of the timeline, it's President Obama that she has a couple meetings with. No big deal. You know, I just say the president always. He's from Chicago. Even his like cadence of how he talks is, you can tell it's him. Well,
right.
But so the whole series and book is based on, if you took like 6 steps to the left of Earth, this was how it was going to be. So of course, when the new president, like I talk about the, you know, how if the U.S. swings after having a liberal black president, of course the politics was going to swing, you know, far right, going through all that. You know, I didn't know what was going to be elected next. I didn't know the chaos that was going to ensue. And people were like, you know, you're hating on Fox, or you're doing this, or I can't read you anymore. I got death threats because I picked on Trump, but not picked on Trump. Hey, I picked on Obama too. Could we all just chill?
Right.
And I pick on Chicago constantly being from Chicago. Like, can we all just.
Right.
But what's scary is that what actually happened was trippier than my actual outlines. So what was some?
Oh no!
Oh yeah, I was going to have it be like the new, you know, hard right Republican president that came in was going to try and basically ban all the soups and dox them, and it was going to be like kind of a not Holocaust survivors, but basically people starting to wear like the Jewish stars from like to make the point of like this is the world that and. That isn't actually as crazy as everything that fucking happened.
I know, right?
So people were like, I can't take the series anymore. It's too much politics. And I'm like, But it's not. We're just all so burnt out over it. And even me, I left it alone for like a year because I was just so like, oh my God, this is so much crazier than my own outlines. But I can't just take all the politics out of a book about Chicago politics and FBI and werewolves and like... So yeah, I ended up kind of just I was eventually planning on having, you know, the not Trump Trump ousted anyway before the not Pence Pence took over, but I kind of just danced around my original outline and caved, and like it wasn't even so much like the readers wanted it or like I was getting pressure of like I can't take any more politics, I can't take the amount of politics, but it was always going to be a little politics heavy to get to the lighter. We moved on from there. There was just supposed to be some more of it in there. But even, yeah, I couldn't take it either. I just...
Yeah.
When it got to the point that the real world was more fucked than my fiction, dramatic murder mystery outline, I was like...
I gotta make a change here. I gotta do something else.
I was like, I think I need a pivot. So...
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Trump took my series from me in a way, but not really, but kind of.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, this the first like 2 to 3 books of the Sex Wizard series are like, you know, like pretty spicy, pretty lighthearted. It's all like very found family, very like good feelings and like, you know, happy people just doing a lot of sex. And so, like, as the series progresses, it changes because like I'm in a better place to be able to write about more serious topics. So the later half of the series, which I'm currently like working on, like I've been telling people from the start of the series that this isn't a romance, this is epic fantasy, and y'all are about to get knocked over the head with it in book 4. So like it starts like the real like epic fantasy of this starts in book 4 and then continues on through 5 and 6. And it's like a totally, I actually had to make like a new music playlist because the vibe was so different from the first half of the series. I really hope people are along for this ride.
Understand the playlist thing. It's you need the right tunes for the right headspace. I totally get it.
Exactly.
I've also got some scenes on Pornhub that I can hook you up with if you're
love that. Always down for some research.
Well, sometimes it's just like dynamics of like, wait, A goes into B with C and the leg goes like, and I have some author friends that have like those like wooden dolls that are used for artists for like
that, yeah
and they like move, and I'm like I couldn't be serious. I'm like, just fucking give me porn. Like, I know that's probably sounds childish or like rudimentary or whatever, but it's like I just be sitting there giggling like and then I'd see them in my head with characters instead of I'd be like I'm writing a Ken doll now in my head or something. Like, just I'd rather just have the semantics of porn. And so what? I have watched porn. I'm not afraid to say it. Like, who fucking cares?
Right. Yeah. At this day and age, like, who cares?
Seriously? Oh my God.
No, it cracks me up. Because I think like that's the funnest part of like the later half of the series. It's like, you know, I have this like close knit group of characters that have all like interacted with each other. And now they're all kind of like on their own journey. And they get to interact with some of these like tertiary characters who have been like sprinkled in throughout the series, but they get to interact with them in like totally different ways.
Oh, that's fun.
And so like I just get to do all of these tropes that I've just been like waiting to do, and I'm so freaking excited for some of the
like a 7 degrees
fun.
Or 8 degrees or whatever degrees of Kevin Bacon. Is it 8 degrees? 7 degrees? Yeah. I don't know which degrees. Yeah, 9 degrees? Whatever degrees of Kevin Bacon.
However many degrees of Kevin Bacon, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
6 degrees? That. Which degrees is it of Kevin Bacon? Oh God, now I'm gonna Google this.
I think it's
6.
Is it 6?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lisa just messaged in the background. She's like, 6. Jesus, here. I'm like, 7, 8, 9? Am I close? Oh my God. Anyway. But I think that's awesome. Sorry. I wanted to say that's fun for your book. And I got it. What were you saying about ADHD?
Right. You were all over it. I love it.
It's the last day of writing a it's a Friday for you, it's the last day of writing a end of a book for me. But no, I like that. That's really great.
We're both in a weird spot.
I will say, unlike you were saying about like the heaviness of sex versus like the books with lighter of sex, I well, for my fans, I'll say I find because I actually have this book I'm finishing, not to be like I'm promoting myself here, but it just really fits. It's I'm finishing book 7 and she's had no sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I have books where there's a lot of sex. I have a series called Naughty Witches where it's all out of sex. So
right.
That's not a very popular one. But my Artemis ones, there's the yeah, it starts pretty fast with some sex. So but this one, it just I think it fits. And there's romantic elements. There's but she's one of the original, well, four gods, not she was written out of history, whatever. But her priests brutalized her. So thousands of years later, she got the curse lifted. There's a whole thing. But she's slowly coming into feeling like a woman, and I'm taking the time to... I don't like it when somebody goes through something super traumatic. And not that, you know, rape in general isn't traumatic, but, like, rape is different than being raped by several. You know, there are levels of trauma and compounding, and she was cursed for so many years after. Like, so...
Right.
I want to take the time with it. And I was shocked on how many people were, I mean, I, you know, you see the numbers or whatever, but it's like my third or fourth most popular series and it hasn't had any sex yet. So I think it's that you'll find that your readers connect with your world building more than your amount of bounce, chicka, bounce, bounce.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that that's like the entire reason that this series has done as well as it has, because, like, you know, I made this like kink based magic system. You know, there's 8 different schools of magic and each one has like a different. So, like, are you a D&D person at all? Have you ever played D&D?
I have not, but I have friends that do. I know of it. Like, I understand how it works.
Okay, so like for spellcasters in D&D, you have somatic components that you have to do to like be able to cast certain spells. Usually it's like hand gestures or whatever else.
Yeah.
But I was like, when I was playing D&D one night, I was like, okay, but like what if you just took the concept of like a somatic component and made it like more ritual and made it with like specific materials instead of like hand gestures? And so like that's where the kinks come from. It's like abjuration, which is like the magic that protects, is bondage related, because there's a, you know, you are tying ropes, you're like making barriers, things like that. And so
you're a very dirty girl.
Oh man, it's wild. Like, you know, one of the edgier schools of magic is corpomancy, which is involved with like needles and piercing and blood play, and it's like that's the school of magic that also heals and like, you know, can actually like do necromancy if you go that far, but that's forbidden in this world.
That's for the best.
Yeah, right. That would be a totally different story.
Right.
It was just like the world building that I made with this magic system and then everything else that branched out around it, like, you know, my main like three to four countries that I have that are all like in this like kind of tentative like political balance with each other because of one country having the magical might of the continent. And it's just like all of it stems from that magic system. And it's just been like, I think that is what people are really connecting to with this series, is like the world building in it is not like anything people have really read before.
Yeah,
at least that's what reviews tell me. So it's like, you know, it's been really fun to just like see how far I can take this like arguably silly concept and take it as far as I possibly can, and I'm so excited for it.
No, I think that's great. I've always more or less done series where it's like Earth but they don't know that paranormals exist and they really do, or like Seraphine, where it's like 5 steps to the left, maybe like Earth 2 or something, where we do have paranormals and magic and they know. The trilogy I have coming out next week is actually the first time that it's just really not Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's a country that doesn't exist with other countries around it that doesn't exist, and it's a fantasy.
Nice.
I keep having people be like, oh, it's a historical romance. I'm like, no, no, it's not.
It's not.
Yeah, no, it's more like a, I never say it right, manhwa, or like a webtoon kind of setting of fantasy nobility, not British, but 1800s kind of.
Right.
So not, absolutely not historical at all.
Right.
But so,
yeah.
So like, I'm trying to like, I've had some people online when I'm talking about it be like, oh yeah, I never thought I'd get a historical romance. I'm like, it's not, no. I don't care if people refer to it that way or that's what how they like maybe classified in their mind, but I don't want people to be like, oh, this is a historical no, and then they're pissed because they think they picked up a historical romance. But
right,
it was really fun because that's what I actually like to read if I have spare time, because the webtoons are so quick. I don't know if you're familiar with Korean comics or whatever.
I haven't read a whole lot of them, but I've had people recommend them to me. I'm also dyslexic, so like reading is hard some days.
As a reader, it drives me up the wall when authors have like 14 different trilogies and I never seem to find them all.
Right.
So I did a series of trilogies as one series. They're called tantalizing trilogies. So they're all will be in one spot, but it's not all in the same world or whatever. They're all separate trilogies. It's just easier for everybody to find.
That's a cool idea. Yeah, no, I love that.
Every so often I have a good idea. I think the first one that came out last year was my first trilogy, and it was really hard to like wrap it up and not just have something open-ended or even 26 books or it did. Mm-hmm. But I keep writing first books. So I currently have, I think, 8 first books of trilogies.
Oh my God.
And my editor's like, either you need to really start writing second books or you need to find somebody else who will write the second and third book. I was like, shit.
Oh my God, that's wild. And it's like, you know, this series that I'm working on, it's going to be 6 books total. And I am really looking forward to writing like a standalone. We'll see if I'm capable of writing a standalone after this, but we'll see.
I don't know if that I've ever really, I've written novella standalones kind of, but I've never really written a full novel standalone. I don't know. That seems like, I'm going to sound stupid here, but that seems like so much work. Like it just would seem so unfinished.
Right. Yeah, it's tricky. And it's like, I genuinely don't know how it's going to go. Like, I have the story idea in mind for the next, like, thing I'm going to do after Wizards. But, like, who knows if it will actually remain a standalone or if it's going to evolve into its own special kind of epic. God, I hope not. Yeah, we'll see. It'll be a fun adventure either way. I do want to do a series someday. I just have to come up with the right idea for it, for like a series of interconnected standalones. Cause like, you know, Cleo Evans is like somebody who I also like love and respect and like adore their work. And like their Creature Cafe series is that, it is exactly that. It's just like all in the same world, standalone novels where it's like, you know, you see cameos from some of the characters in other books, but it's just like, I would love to come up with the idea for that. I feel like I could have done it with Wizards, but I was not in that mindset when I started writing the series.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm a pantser at the start of a series, and then I become a plotter as it necessitates. So now I've got an outline for the end of book 5, which is what I'm currently writing.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like the first 3 books in the series, I pantsed entirely. And it wasn't until book 4 that I was like, okay, maybe I do need an outline to figure out where the hell this is going.
I want to give a big thanks to Lethea for joining me for such a fun conversation. Also to all our fans for checking out this podcast. I hope you like what you heard and decide to stick around. Please make sure to subscribe to the Fat Books podcast on YouTube or Spotify, or that little purple icon on your Apple device. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to stay up to date on who we're recording with and when episodes are coming out. There's also a Patreon if you want to support the podcast and keep it going. Now let's hear a bit about what Alethea's got going on.
So right now I'm currently working on book 5 of the Sex Wizard series. Book 4 will be published later this year. I can't give an exact date yet because I don't know it, but it will be coming. There's still books in the series that are out currently. 1 through 3 are out, as well as the Starshine novella, which is Garrett and Bridget's backstory of how they got to the Crux. I also have advanced chapters available on my Patreon, like I mentioned earlier. So if y'all are just dying to see what happens next, you can get the rough draft on my Patreon right now. But yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks for staying till the end and hope you enjoyed it.
Life of Riley, Kevin MacLeod, incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.